life oftentimes is filled with trouble. In fact, in the book of John, chapter 14, it says, "Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble," or turmoil. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 23, "For all his days are sorrows and his travail grief." And many of our church this morning can say from a personal standpoint that, yeah, those verses are true, especially in my life right now. We have a couple families in our church that are still grieving over the sudden death of a loved one. We have several families in our church that are praying and because they have a loved one that's fighting cancer. We have a couple other families that are having relationship problems that could tear some special relationships apart. We have another family that has a real heartache with a child. Another family that has some real severe financial hardships. And I could go on, but you get the picture. Life sometimes is filled with trouble. But I thank God that we have a God that never lets us go through that trouble by ourselves. He never leaves us alone. He always gives us what we need to get through those troubled times. And one of the things that he gives us, we read about in the 7th verse of Philippians chapter 4, where the Bible says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You see, when that verse says, "the peace of God which passeth all understanding," the world doesn't understand it. They look at us and say, "well, how can you go through those circumstances? How can you face what you're having to face and still smile and still have joy in your heart?" Because they just can't get their hands around and understand the peace of God. It just passes their understanding. And this morning, I don't want you to confuse the peace of God with peace with God. They're two different things. There's peace with God, and there's peace of God. In fact, my title this morning is, "Don't Stop at Peace with God." Every person needs to make peace with God. In fact, you cannot have the peace of God until you make peace with God. And so let me start this morning by making sure that everybody here has peace with God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." The word peace means the war stops. The hostility stops. You see, every single one of us was made to fellowship with God. We were made to have a relationship with God. But we did something that messed that relationship up. We sinned. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one." And so God loved us. He made us to have a relationship with him. That's where we find true life. That's where we find the meaning of life, is to have that relationship with God. And yet our sin put a wall of, put a wall between us and God. When we sin, we turned away from God. And because God is a holy, righteous judge, a holy, righteous God, he's also a holy, righteous judge, but because he's a holy, righteous God, when we sinned, not only did we turn away from him, he turned away from us. Because his holiness and his righteousness cannot tolerate sin. And so there's a wall between us and God. We are at war with God. We are at enmity with God. And there's nothing we can do to break down that wall, to overcome that separation that exists between us and God. We need a mediator. We need somebody, a mediator, that can make peace between us and God. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, the Bible says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." We need a mediator. We need somebody that knows God, that can know to God, that knows God and can go to God and figure out a way that God can make peace with man. And we need somebody that knows man, that can go to man and help man make peace with God. Now listen, by the way, God did not come up with this plan when man sinned. He did not wait till Adam and Eve committed that first sin in the Garden of Eden and say, hey, I've got to come up with a plan to redeem man. I've got to come up with a plan to help man overcome that barrier that sin's going to set up between us. God did not wait. He had this plan put together in his mind and in his heart before he created the world. That's why the Bible says in the book of Revelation, it calls Jesus Christ the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. We sang that song, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. God has had this plan in mind before the first man, the first woman were created, before the first sin was committed. God has always had a plan to redeem man. So we need a mediator. Somebody that knows God, that can go to God. Somebody that knows man, that can go to man. And that mediator is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he goes to God because he is God and knows God and says, Father, I know they've sinned. I know your holiness and your justice demands that you turn your back on man. But Father, if I go and I pay for man's sins, if I go and I pay the price that they owe, if I go to Calvary and suffer what they should suffer because of their sin, would that satisfy your justice and your holiness? And God says, yes, it will. Amen. Yes, it will. And then God, and then our mediator, Jesus, goes to man and says to us, says to each one of us, God's justice won't let him have a relationship with you as a sinner. But I have a plan. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to pay for your sin. I'm going to pay the price that you owed. And God the Father has said, if I do that, that will satisfy his justice and his holiness and allow him to reestablish a relationship with you. Will you let me do that for you? Now, if you're a smart person and Jesus comes to you and says that, and he does through his word, you will say, yes, I will. You see, the mediator has gone to God with a plan that God has says yes to. And the mediator comes to us as men with a plan that will redeem us to God, that will save us from the penalty of our sin, that will break down the wall of separation. It will end the war that exists between man and God. We can have peace with God through our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible says, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, God and man. He hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition or division between us. Jesus breaks down that wall, and God in his holiness and righteousness can turn and face man. And if man has any sense at all, only a fool would refuse the salvation of God. If man has any sense at all, he will turn, and that wall is gone, and man can have that relationship with God that he was created for. Amen. It gives purpose to our life. It's a wonderful thing to be right with God. It's a wonderful thing to have peace with God. And I'm talking about salvation. I'm talking about redemption. And if you're here today and you have never trusted Christ, if you have never said yes to that mediator, to that plan that God devised that he go to Calvary, you need to do it this morning. Man, I can't think of a better day than June 30th, 2019 for you to accept the gift of salvation. It's the only plan that's going to work. There is no other plan. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It says in that same chapter in Romans chapter 10, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. And if you're here this morning and you've never done that, you need to do it. I'm going to, in just a second, I'll get to my sermon. This is just my introduction, by the way. I'm just getting warmed up. But in a minute, I'm going to talk about the peace of God. Every person needs the peace of God. But you can't have the peace of God until you have peace with God. And you're not going to get peace with God any other way than Jesus Christ. And so if you're here this morning and you've never received Him, I beg you. I implore you, before we get done this morning, you believe in your heart that Jesus died for you. You confess with your mouth and you call upon Him and ask Him to save you. Now, I wish I could tell you when you got saved, all your trouble was over. I wish I could tell you when you get saved, you won't have any more problems or heartaches. I wish I could tell you that everything is going to be peaches and cream when you receive Christ as your Savior, but if I said anything like that, I'd be a liar, because that's not the way it works. That's where the peace of God comes in. It's the peace of God that lets us go on when we lose a loved one. It's the peace of God that lets us go on when the doctor gives us a diagnosis that we don't like. It's the peace of God that lets us go on when one of our children go astray or a relationship breaks or we have any other trouble in our life. It's the peace of God that lets us go on. Now, I want to say three things about the peace of God. First of all, what is the peace of God? It's a gift from God. The peace of God is a gift from God. In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus was getting ready to leave. He was telling his followers, look, I'm getting ready to leave, but I'm going to give you a gift, and this gift that I'm going to give you is the peace of God. The peace of God. I'm going to give you that peace. So, that's what it is. The peace of God is a gift from God. Point number two. Now, don't get excited and think all my points are going to be as short as point number one. I'm just getting warmed up. What is it? What's the peace of God? It's the gift of God. What does the peace of God do? What does the peace of God do? Well, it tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, it keeps our hearts and our minds. That verse says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, the heart is the center of my emotions. The mind is the center of my intellect. And so the peace of God keeps my thoughts and my emotions, my feelings. It keeps them. Well, what does that word keep mean? Well, that word keep is a military term. It means to guard something. And if you were keeping a city, you would prevent hostile forces from coming into that city and attacking that city. You would let nobody into that city that wanted to do it harm. But it also means something else. It means keeping the citizens of that city in that city. Not letting them get afraid. Not letting them run out and do something stupid on the outside of the city. So when you keep something, you keep stuff from getting in and you keep stuff from getting out. Now, let me give you an example. In Bible days, the cities were walled. They had big walls around the city. They didn't have tanks. They didn't have bazookas. They didn't have things that could knock those walls down. So what they did when they attacked the city is they would besiege it. They would surround it and let Nobody come into it. And the idea was that eventually that city would run out of food, it would run out of water, it would run out of the things that the people needed to live, and they would starve that city out. And again, there's an example where the Syrians did this to Jerusalem when Hezekiah was king. They surrounded the city of Jerusalem. They cut off all supplies. It got so bad that the people began to eat dung and donkey heads, and they even thought about eating their children because it got so bad. The leaders of the Syrians and the army of the Syrians would come up close to the wall, and they would taunt the people that lived in Jerusalem. They would say, "Hey, we got you now. We're gonna defeat you. Sooner or later, we're gonna starve you out. You're gonna give up. We're gonna come into the city. We're gonna destroy it. We're gonna destroy the temple. We're gonna destroy you. You have no hope. You might as well go ahead and give up now. You might as well go ahead and throw in the towel now. You have no hope." And so they taunted the citizens of Jerusalem. They even wrote a letter. They wrote a letter saying those same things. It was shoved under the gate. It was delivered to King Hezekiah. Hezekiah read the letter. He took it into the temple, the place that he could go, and he laid it before God. And he said, "God, look at what the Syrians are threatening to do to us. They've already got us surrounded. They've already cut off our food supply. My people are already talking about giving up. What are you going to do about it?" Now, again, it's not part of my message, but I'll just tell you, when Hezekiah took that letter to the Lord, the Lord worked. He won a great victory. Amen. The Syrians thought they had Jerusalem and there was no hope, but God gave them hope and God won a great victory. But listen, that's not the point of my message. That's sort of the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. But when the Syrians surrounded the city, Hezekiah also set up his guards. He set up his guards around the walls of the city for two reasons. Number one, he didn't want any Syrian getting in. And so he set up guards all around the city to keep the enemy out. But he also set up guards around the city so that no citizen of Jerusalem would leave. He kept them in because he knew they were panicked. He knew they were worried. And so he says, I want a guard that they don't go out, they don't leave the city and do something stupid. So in keeping the city, Hezekiah protected the city from what wanted to come in. He also protected the city from those who wanted to leave. He protected the citizens from themselves. Sometimes, oftentimes, when trouble comes, when heartache comes, when sorrows come, we feel besieged. We feel surrounded. Everywhere we look, there's heartache and trouble. And we look around and we don't know what to do. We don't know where to turn. And we begin to worry and we begin to fret. And we begin to begin thinking about things, and our emotions start to run wild. And at that very moment, Satan comes, and Satan says, "I got you. I got you. There's no getting out of this. You might as well just go ahead and quit. You might as well just go ahead and give up. You might as well go ahead and be afraid. You might as well go ahead and be fearful." And what Satan wants us to do is just run out and do something stupid, do something that doesn't make any sense at all. And this is where the peace of God comes in. The peace of God that keeps our hearts and our minds comes in and says, "Hang on. Hang on, calm down. I'll keep your heart. I'll keep your mind. I won't let anything in, and I won't let anything out unless it's good for you. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. Don't run. Don't panic. I will keep you. I will guard you. And if we turn to the peace of God in the midst of trouble," he says, "I'll keep your hearts and I'll keep your minds." And so in the midst of heartache, in the midst of trial, in the midst of sorrow, we ought to be able to sing that little chorus that we sing sometimes. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. Because we have the peace of God that keeps our hearts and our minds. We may have to sing it through tears. We may have to sing it through pain. We may have to sing it through not knowing what's going to come next. But we ought to sing it because the peace of God keeps our hearts and our minds. So what is it? Is a gift of God. What does it do? It keeps our minds and our hearts. Number three, how do we get it? How do we get that peace of God? It's real simple. We take it. We just take it. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, here's what the Bible says. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And let. So you get to choose. I get to choose. We get to choose. The peace of God rule. In other words, be the boss. Be in charge. Be the king in your hearts. Here's an interesting thing. The phrase peace of God, only appears two times in the Bible. It's in Philippians 4:7, where it tells us what the peace of God does. And then it's in Colossians 3:15, where it tells us how to get it. How do we get it? We take it. We claim it. In Galatians 5:22, it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. When we make peace with God, when we get saved, we get the Holy Spirit. We get all the Holy Spirit there is. I've told you before, when we get saved, we get all the Holy Spirit. The question is, how much of us does the Holy Spirit get? We get all of Him. And when we get the Holy Spirit, and things come up in our life, he puts a tree in front of us, and on that tree there's some fruit. Love, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and peace. And he says, here's some peace. Pluck it. Take it. Let it rule in your heart. And when I let the peace of God rule in my heart, it keeps my mind and my heart. The peace of God which passeth understanding. The world won't understand. I mean, they'll look at you and say, man, I don't know what that guy's got. I don't know what that lady's got. I don't know how they can go through what they're going through. Still smile. Still have hope. Keep going. They can't understand the peace of God because they don't have peace with God. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you need to make peace with God. You only can do that through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I believe in my heart. You believe in your heart that you're a sinner. You believe in your heart that Jesus died to pay the penalty of your sin. You believe in your heart that if you ask Him, He will save you from that penalty. And then you confess with your mouth. You call upon Christ. You say, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I believe that you're the only one that'll work. Please save me from my sin. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here today in the middle of trouble, in the middle of heartache, in the middle of sorrow, the Holy Spirit has that tree of fruit in front of you. One of the fruits on that tree is peace. Take a piece of it. Let it rule in your heart. Let it keep your heart and your mind. And the peace of God, which passeth understanding, shall keep your hearts and your mind. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can have peace with you. And then thank you, dear Father, that we can have your peace regardless of what's going on in our life. And I pray for those that are here this morning that have never made peace with you, They're still under the condemnation of their sin. They still face the punishment of their sin. Help them see that they have no hope apart from Christ. They have no hope apart from the cross. They have no hope except coming to Him. And I pray, Father, right where they sat, they would just ask Jesus to save them. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. You know, as Adam saying a moment ago, oftentimes the trouble that we have in our hearts, nobody else knows about but You. We've kept it to ourselves. We feel besieged. We don't know which way to turn. We're surrounded with no hope. But we have a God who is a God of hope. We have a God that can do the impossible. We have a God that can give us that peace in the middle of our heartaches that passeth all understanding, that will keep us. And I pray for those that are here this morning that need to take a big piece of that fruit of the Spirit called peace and let it rule in their heart. Help them do it this morning, Father. I pray that You'd bless this invitation. The altar's open. If folks need to come, help them to come and use the altar. If folks need help in asking Jesus to be their Savior, I pray You'd help them to come as well. Just bless this invitation. Use it to build Your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.